Let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you for that herald of the kingdom, who is John the Baptist, whose severe words we hear. Thank you that they wake us up, remind us of the challenge of your kingdom, summon us to repentance. May we hear your word and by your Spirit act upon it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is one door that everyone takes into God's presence. Every single person, rich, poor, wise, foolish, whatever nationality you are, whatever you may have done or not done. And the door is labeled repentance. The difficulty is that words like repent or repentance can be a bit hard to understand properly. They're not often used outside of church circles. If they are, they tend to be associated with the kind of cartoon character in a poster with a sign saying, repent, the end is nigh. Though I did hear the term repentance bandied about recently in the press. I think they were referring to prime ministers of Britain at the time, but that's a whole other story. So this wild religious extremist, John the Baptist, uses the phrase, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you make of it? How does that sound to you? Does it sound like good news? Because it is. An Archbishop of Canterbury from many years ago, William Temple, gives a wonderful description of what repentance is to the Christian. He writes, to repent is to adopt God's point of view in place of your own. There need not be any sorrow about it. In itself, far from being sorrowful, it is the most joyful thing in the world. Because when you've done it, you have adopted the viewpoint of truth itself, and you are in fellowship with God. Repentance sounds like good news to me. So if we're serious about coming close to God, then we don't just need to know what repentance is about. We need to do it, of course. First of all, I want us to see just how important this topic of repentance is with a quick survey of the New Testament that reminds us 21st century Christians what we're about. And then just very briefly, the four brief ways that John, in that passage, demands our repentance. So there we go. First then, what has his prophetic cry to repent have to do with us as Christians here today? Because John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Okay? If you read on a little further in Matthew, you will find what are the words that Jesus is recorded as beginning his public ministry. Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I've heard that before. The striking thing in Matthew's gospel is that the first public words of John the Baptist and of Jesus are identical. The summons to repent. You fast forward through Jesus' ministry, the cross, the resurrection, his ascension, and you come to the first Christian sermon ever preached, Peter on the day of Pentecost. Great crowd turns to him to ask, what must I do to be saved? The answer, Acts 2:38, Peter replies, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So John's first public word to us, Jesus' first public word to us, Peter's first word in his preaching. There's a theme here. What about the great apostle Paul? Well, we find Paul preaching in the marketplace of Athens to those who would include an unknown God as one of their deities to worship. That's in Acts 17, verse 30. And he says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. And in Acts 20, Paul summarizes his three-year ministry in Ephesus in his farewell speech to the church elders in Acts 20. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And he goes on in Acts 26, his defense before King Agrippa. He says, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Could have taken those words straight out of John the Baptist's mouth. John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, Paul, they say the door into God's presence is labeled repentance. Okay, you said, good point. If people want to become Christians and get to know God, they need to repent. I've done that for good measure. Did a bit more of it in confession in the service this morning already. Well, yes, but the risen Lord Jesus has something else to say about that. Because when you hear what the risen Lord Jesus says to his church, you see it very clearly in the book of the Revelation to St. John. Because there the risen, ascended Jesus speaks to seven churches. Seven real churches of that time, but his inspired words come to us today. What's the overwhelming command of the risen, ascended, and glorified Lord Jesus that he gives to his church that we find six times? Well, I think you probably guessed. Because six times, well, Revelation 2:5, he says to the church in Ephesus, in 2:16 to the church in Smyrna, 2:22 to the church in Thyatira, 3:3 to the church in Sardis, 3:19 to the church in Laodicea. I've lost one in there. He says, repent. This is to the Christian church. The last reference there, the church in Laodicea, I find the most interesting. It's the most famous verse probably in the book of Revelation. I imagine you've heard it before. Jesus says, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he in me. Famous verse. You may have seen the very famous painting by Holman Hunt. It's reproduced with Jesus with a lantern knocking on a door. Interestingly, it's not primarily about people coming to faith in Jesus, but it's to his church saying, come into the presence of Jesus through repentance and just enjoy fellowship. Eat with me. The picture there is enjoying renewed fellowship. There is a door into God's presence for everyone. It is still labeled repentance. So what and how do we do about it? Well, let's come back to Mark chapter 3. John the Baptist preaching there. Four steps to take for practical Christian repentance. The first is, humility is the key. Verse 8 onwards in Matthew 3. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, ah, we have Abraham as our father. No. Humility does not look to ourselves or who we have as our father, our heritage, our experience, our knowledge. Humility looks to God. Humility, I'm sure I get the definition wrong. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. The focus here moves onto what God is doing. Whenever we focus on what we've done to please or impress God, then we've lost it. Now, the challenge is in repentance is to be amazed at what God has done for you in Christ to open up the way into his presence. Repentance means focusing on him, not us or me. Remember the story Jesus tells in Luke about the Pharisee and the tax collector going up to pray? The Pharisee, who was so full of himself, had no room for God in his prayer. The humility to be aware that our need of God is the thing above all else is the first step in repentance. Someone once said, unawareness is the root of all evil. So humility in repentance. Secondly, is urgency. Verse 10, even now the axe is already at the root of the tree. There's a kind of sense, it's for now. You know, the foresters are not scheduled for 3 weeks' time to come and start doing a bit of forestry. No, the axe is here now. When God speaks, the time to respond is always now. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Time is always now when God is speaking. Don't carry on as you are, living happily with this or that behavior, that attitude for now, just a bit longer. No, that's not how it works. The danger is the longer we resist the voice of the Spirit, we find it becomes impossible to respond. God's knock on the door will still be there, but we learn to ignore it. I told the story before of a friend who came to see me about baptism, and he said how it was 28 years ago, he said, I had a window of opportunity with God and I ignored it. He knew he should respond to God, but there seemed no hurry. So one day became someday. As 28 years later, he wept bitter tears for the years he felt he'd wasted because he had not responded to God in faith and repentance. When you need to respond to God, well, do it. Turn to him. There's a sense of urgency. Sometimes people have the idea that kind of God is at our convenience. You know, he's always on the end of the phone. Well, there is a sense of urgency. Humility, urgency, very real change. Because that's what repentance is about. It's not about saying sorry primarily. It's about real change. Verse 10, Matthew 3, verse 10. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Bear fruit that befits repentance. Repentance is about visible change. You think you can just turn to God and then live life just as before? We're mistaken. Such an attitude is a kind of empty believism. It's just mental assent to the truth. Not genuine Christian faith that transforms our life. You've always got to ask the question, what is the evidence that shows that I'm a follower of Jesus, a disciple? How is my life different because of it? No, we can't use the language of repentance without being prepared to change. I always remember a friend of mine, he used to lead seminars about church growth. And in the sessions he'd say, who would like their church to grow? Forrest of hands. Who would like their church to change? Not quite such a forest. It's the same with us. Who wants to grow in their faith? Who wants to change? We claim to know God, that encounter must change us. At its most basic, repentance is the kind of U-turn, the turnaround in life. Imagine, perish the thought that my wife and I are in the car and the junction, she says, turn right. Good listener that I am, I turn left. Never happened. Right. Now, I have various options open at this point. We are heading in the wrong direction. Option A, I can drive faster in the wrong direction while claiming I know a shortcut. I can blame her for not giving me sufficient warning of the turn ahead. Never happens. Repentance is the option of admitting I am wrong and turning around. In the kingdom, first place has to go to the king, not yourself. C.S. Lewis, great Christian writer, writes of his own desire towards ruling himself. He wants to be in charge of his own life, that took a really deep-seated repentance. I'm just going to read a paragraph from him because I think it's worthwhile. C.S. Lewis writes, of course, what mattered most of all was my deep-seated hatred of authority, my monstrous individualism, my lawlessness. No word in my vocabulary expressed deeper hatred than the word interference. In his book, he puts a capital I on interference there. But Christianity placed at the center what then seemed to me a transcendental interferer, talking about Jesus. If its picture were true, then no sort of treaty with reality could be possible. There was no region, even in the innermost depths of one's soul, nay, there last of all, which one could surround with a barbed wire fence and guard with a notice, no admittance. And that was what I wanted, some area, however small, of which I could say to all other beings, this is my business and my only. Humility, urgency, change, and then just finally, dependence. Verse 11 of Matthew 3, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Because John looks to another Jesus. We recognize that we fall short in so many ways, even in our repentance. Can I ever, do I ever wholly and sincerely do this kind of radical U-turn? That's why the ministry of Jesus, bringing the Holy Spirit and radical inner change, is essential. It was T.F. Torrance who said, "Sin has been so ingrained into our minds that we are unable to repent, and we even have to repent of the kind of repentance we bring to God." Don't want to go down a mad rabbit hole at that point, but you get his idea. There needs to be this profound change. All that John can do in his ministry is make us wet. He baptizes with water. The one who is to come, Jesus, will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. The one we can trust to cleanse our very nature, where our desire and our motivations come from. Repentance is not some kind of discrete spiritual exercise that, well, when we've done it, it earns us the reward of God to say, well done. No, no. Repentance, which, remember, as I said at the start, is about adopting God's point of view in place of our own, is the way in which Christ comes to us, Christ dwells in us, and how the mind of Christ is formed over time within us. There is a door marked into the presence of God. It is marked repentance. Go through it with humility, urgency, making a real change, and depending on the work of Christ and the work of the Spirit in your life. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that real change is possible by your Spirit and by your grace. We pray that you will enable us to change in the power of the Spirit to be more like Jesus. Thank you that the door is always open, whoever we are, wherever we are, into your presence because of what Jesus has done. We ask your Spirit's help in all this. Amen.